Luke chapter 6, verse 20 and verse 24. This is the reading of God's word. And turning his gaze toward his disciples, he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Verse 24, "But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word as you tell us what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. As you tell us what is our eternal reality that has been already accomplished in Jesus Christ, let us understand, let us believe, and let us obey by your grace. And Father, through your word, let us meet our Lord Jesus Christ and have fellowship with him. And as we hear your word, let our faith grow and we be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in the book of Luke, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ comes as the Messiah to establish the kingdom of God. The new creation has begun, and this is your reality, even though you don't see it. Heaven has come. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Which means all has been changed, even though you don't see that change. And the coming of the kingdom of God also means the coming of the end of the world, the passing away of this world. Even though you don't see that, you need to believe. The another way of saying the same thing, the whole world has been turned upside down. Thus now, the people of God cannot know or believe anything according to the standard of this world. Heaven and this world are completely opposite to one another. And how does the reality of heaven express in this world? Well, it is always the opposite of this world. The value according to this world is now turned upside down. And Jesus in our passage teaches that new reality, the reality of heaven. The reality of how this world is now turned upside down in Jesus Christ. In other words, the gospel of the new world, the gospel of heaven is now being preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says, verse 20 and verse 24. And turning his gaze toward his disciples, he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full." Do you see it? Do you see how the world has been turned upside down? It's not the same world. Jesus came. You need to understand what that means. He did not just come and did not do anything. Or so many Christians think he just died for your sins. He did much more than that. And if you truly understand what that means, that he died for your sin to save you, you will realize the whole world has been changed. The Old Testament has been turned upside down. The blessings of God in the Old Testament, it was expressed in worldly terms. It was a type pointing to the true blessings of heaven. The blessings of God in the Old Testament were shown as being wealthy and healthy in this world. Being rich witnessed the reality of God's blessings in the Old Testament. Thus, being poor witnessed the reality of God's judgment in the Old Testament. But that was the Old Testament. Now in Christ, all is turned upside down. As the kingdom of God comes, the world is now passing away. And its values, its standard is also passing away. As far as you and I are concerned, it is already passed away. Blessed are you who are poor. And woe to you who are rich. In these verses, do you see how the whole world is turned upside down? I keep saying that to you because I want to make a point that you are hearing this correctly. This is God's word. And you might say to yourself, but I don't feel I'm blessed when I'm poor. Well, that's how you feel. Has nothing to do with reality. And if you don't want to believe God's word, then that's your problem. God says, blessed are the poor, and woe to the rich. We cannot understand anything according to the standard of this world any longer. That's what it means that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He accomplished the new creation. Jesus comes and accomplishes everything according to God's word. See, these things were promised by God in the Old Testament, and those promises are now being fulfilled by Jesus Christ. But the people who love this world so much that they understood those promises in worldly terms. But Jesus comes and fulfills all those promises in eternal way, heavenly way. People don't like it. They reject it. Isaiah 65, verse 13 and 14, therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants will eat, but you will be hungry. Behold, my servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. Behold, my servants will shout joyfully with a glad heart, but you will be cry out with a heavy heart, and you will wail with a broken spirit. And you need to understand that even those verses in terms of heaven. Yes, God's people, you and I, we will rejoice in heaven, but these people who used to live a rich life here, they will cry out in hell forever and ever. Spiritually speaking, this reality is already accomplished. And when Jesus returns, it will be visibly consummated. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you. Meaning true happiness belongs to you. Who? You who are poor. The poor are the ones who are truly blessed. God acknowledges this. Now, obviously, the poor, it does not refer just to the materially poor. That's why we have the whole Bible. You need to use the whole Bible to understand. The Bible interprets the Bible. So Matthew explains to us. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. God has been teaching his people even from the Old Testament that materially being poor and the spiritually poor are closely related. Proverbs 16:19, it is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And King David, as you know, he was a king and he was a very rich person. But in Psalm 40 verse 17, he refers himself like this, since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. So he's not just talking about materialistically, he's also talking about in spiritually. Thus, when the Bible refers to the poor, it is not referring just being poor materially. The rich, because he has much in this world, he is so easy. It is so easy for him to be arrogant and proud. He thinks that he is somewhat important in this world because he's rich. Thus, he depends on his own ability and his own wealth rather than God. And this is just how it is. If you be so rich tomorrow, you'll be like that. It's so easy for you to be like that. God knows how it is so easy for me to be like that, so that's why I know he's not going to make me rich. Because he loves me. God warns the rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but instruct them to depend on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. This does not mean that just because you are poor, you are automatically blessed. No, you must also be poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. What does that mean? Well, he believes that he is nobody in the presence of God. He admits that he cannot do anything on his own ability. He confesses that he is a sinner who cannot please God on his own ability. That he deserves the eternal judgment of hell if God judges according to what he has done. He believes that he is so poor spiritually that he has nothing to show for, nothing to boast about himself in the presence of God. That he is completely not worthy. And when it comes to salvation, he confesses that God and only God is able to save him. Thus he acknowledges God in all things and gives him all the glory. He seeks God and God only. He desires God and God only. He depends on God and God only. This is so proper because this is absolutely, there's no, absolutely no boasting in Christianity. If you see anybody boast other than Christ, then you know that's not Christian. Well, at least in principle, or that guy is sinning. Because there's absolutely no boasting in Christianity except Christ. But this world is completely opposite. This world acknowledges those who have self-confidence. The people who believe in themselves. In this world, one must show that he is able. One must show how he is better than others. This is how the world lives their lives. Can you even imagine a person who goes to a job interview and says that he is not able? That he is utter incompetent? Can you even imagine that in this world? But this is how you must come to God. That's why those proud people, they will never believe God. This world looks down on this kind of people. This world even despises this kind of people. One must show off in this world with all the worldly things and worldly talents one has. It is all about in what country you were born, what family, what school, what jobs, how much you make, how smart you are, what kind of house, what kind of car. This is all the world is all about. Because this world is full of boasting. The boastful pride of this life. Brothers and sisters, this kind of boasting must not enter the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the boasting of the church is only one thing, only one person, Jesus Christ. But we see many come to church and boast. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. Brothers and sisters, there is no end to the worldly boasting. You know, parents boasting about their children. What kind of school they went, what kind of job they have, how much money they make, boasting about the daughter-in-law, son-in-law. There's no end. This kind of boasting should never come into the church. Why do they boast about those things? Because they do not know that the whole world has turned upside down by our Lord Jesus Christ. They still don't get it. They think that when Jesus came, he didn't do anything and the world still remains the same. New creation has happened. And these people, they have no idea whatsoever about the new creation. They still think that this world is everything. They still think that this is it, the world that we see. Somehow they think that it will last forever. They do not know what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished. They do not live according to faith. But you and I, we, just like the Apostle Paul, consider all things of this world as dung, even our so-called good works. Why? Isaiah 64 verse 6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind takes us away. Romans chapter 10 verse 10 through 12, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. But these boasting people, they think that they're somebody. That they're actually righteous in the presence of God. I mean, how can anyone say that they are saved by their own good works as they are confronted with God's word? They act as if they are humble, but they are so proud and arrogant when they stand in front of God. They are not poor in spirit. But Jesus says to those who are poor, those who are poor in spirit, He says, for yours is the kingdom of God. For yours is heaven. He's not promising those poor or poor in spirit that their lives gonna get better here in this world, or they may become more wealthy in this world. No, He promises them heaven. Heaven. And if you don't like heaven, then there's nothing that God is promising to you. The phrase in our verse is in a present tense. Already the kingdom of God has been given to them. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Here, everything is in a past tense. Everything that this verse is speaking of are already happened. They are our present spiritual heavenly reality. It is not a God's promise that He will make us rich in this life. It is not just a promise of God that He will receive a reward in heaven. No, the whole heaven is given to us. Of course, this reality is not yet visible. That's why the world despises it. But Christians who are supposed to believe, they act like they don't believe and they live according to sight, as if this world is everything to them. What is important to you? What is primary? What is first? And if it is not Jesus Christ, I don't know. What's the whole point of coming to worship if Jesus is not the first? Then Monday through Saturday, all you think about is the world. Then what's this a point here? What is this? We don't live like that. But look at what God says. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is heaven. And if that doesn't bring you happiness, then Christianity has nothing for you. Blessed are poor, For God will make you rich in this life. If that's the only thing that will make you happy, then Christianity has nothing for you. Actually, God promises Christian life to be a life of suffering in this world. And some of you who are already know that because there's so much suffering in your life. But He promises you heaven. Everything will be okay in heaven. We just have to endure a little bit longer. God never promised us this world. Never. The whole heaven is given to us. But remember, even though heaven is not visible, we already possess it, and when Jesus returns, it will be visibly consummated. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and 30, "And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." James chapter 2, verse 5, "Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him?" It's okay if you're poor. You are blessed. Because He chose us who are poor in this world so that we may be rich in faith. And when we say rich, you know, some Christians, they think they're rich even though they have like... You know, when world understands rich, most of Christians are not. We might even think other Christians, oh, he's rich. No, compared to the world rich people, you're nobody. And it's so comical that as a Christian, just because you're a little bit richer than the other Christian, you think you're rich. That is so comical. If you want to say you're rich because God bless you, then be the number one out there, richest person in the world, then mention God's name. You're not even like 1 millionth of rich people in the world. Don't mention God's name. You're actually degrading His name, that you connected God with your not so richness. If you really want to claim that it's God who made you rich, then be the richest person in the world and say it. We're poor. And it's okay. Because the heaven is ours. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you, you who are rich, because what our Lord has done and accomplished, we cannot know the rich as someone who are blessed anymore. So when you see rich person in the world, don't say that he's blessed. Because that's not what God says. God says, woe to that person. You and I, we have to live according to the word. We have to think according to the word. We have to understand according to the word. We cannot follow the world anymore. And world says he's rich, he's blessed. You go, no, he's not. Woe to him. And world points you, and because you're poor, he says, oh man, he's not blessed at all. Well, you say, no, I am blessed. Because that's what God says. And I don't know how much I have to say this. See, I have no power to convince you. But please understand, that is what God says. And you need to believe it. Don't believe according to the world. Why is it so easy for us to believe the world, but so hard to believe God? It's all about how you believe. You actually believe, looking at poor, and you actually say, he is blessed. That's living according to the Bible. And without faith that God gives, no one is able to do that. It doesn't make any sense to them. How can he's blessed, he's poor? Well, that's what God says. It's the truth. And I will show you how he is blessed. Just wait. Wait about 60, 70 years after he goes to heaven, I will show you how he is blessed. But I cannot show you right now. We believe God. But see, it's so hard because you don't feel blessed when you're poor. You always feel you're lacking. Why? Because you do not believe in heaven. You don't even know what you have already in Christ. It's like you have a secret bank account with $1 trillion in it, but you just don't know it, so you think you're poor. But once you realize you have that account and you could get that later, you're not going to think you're poor anymore. See, it all comes down that whether you truly believe heaven or you don't. Christianity has become like a joke. Even people who go to church, they don't believe it. Well, at least they live as if they don't believe it. Brothers and sisters, we have mission. You and I, we need to show the world that Christianity is truth. So when you see poor, believe he's blessed. Because he's also poor in spirit. And again here, woe to you who are rich, just like we do not recognize the poor as just someone who is poor materially, we cannot understand the rich as someone who is rich materially only. The woe does not refer to what would happen to them in this world, but it refers to what would happen to them ultimately at the return of Jesus Christ at the last judgment. So, woe to rich doesn't mean something's going to happen to that person while he lives here on earth. Well, unless God really loves that person, then something will happen. But he will live as rich until he dies. But what would happen after he dies? See, See, Jesus Christ warns those who are rich. And just as we saw last Lord's Day, this warning is also to many in the church. So many in the church have become a part of this world. Sometimes it is very hard to distinguish the church from the world these days. Thus, it is a warning to us as well. James chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too, the rich man in the midst of his pursuit will fade away. James chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last day that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. It's frightening. It's like there's a day of slaughter. You're going to slaughter a pig so that we could consume. But before we slaughter, we help that pig to get fatter and fatter. God says this is what God is doing to those rich. The slaughter day is coming. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by ignoring for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. God says to the rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. You are receiving all the comfort right now, meaning that there is no more comfort in the future. Meaning there is no heaven for you. That's what it is saying. You know, we find similar things in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. You know, so many worldly rich people, they announce, everybody knows how much money they donated to certain cause or whatever. You hear about it. God says, don't do that. Because once people hear it and praise you, you receive your reward in full. There is no more reward for you. Only when you do that in secret, God will reward you. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. You know, people who are fasting, everybody knows that person is fasting. They will tell you. God said, don't do that. For they neglect their appearances so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. For those who are rich, there is no more comfort, no more reward. And it is a frightening statement. Brothers and sisters, what do you like? Be rich now and no reward later? Or be poor now and heaven later? What do you want? I would take poor now and heaven forever. I would always take that. So I don't mind. I will endure poor, being poor for the next 60 years so that I could enjoy rich forever. What do you want? And if you are rich, even though you are Christian, that could happen. Some Christians, God allowed them to be rich. If you're one like that, then you must use your wealth not for yourself, but for the glory of Jesus Christ, that you live not as though you are receiving all your comfort now. Even with wealth, you could live your life Christian way so that it is so clear, even though you're rich, you're not receiving the comfort now in full. Use your wealth for the glory of God, not for yourself. Let me end this. The poor in spirit. Conclusion. He is Jesus Christ. He. When he lived his 33 years of his life here on earth, he was poor. And he was poor in spirit. Even though he was God, not consider equality with God something we should think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Our passage is a call to be like our Lord Jesus Christ and a call to participate in his holy life. See, his first coming is for him to be poor. He came here to be poor. How can we despise being poor when that was his purpose? He humbled himself, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourself, which are also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We are to stand before God as the poor in spirit, and we are to live a life that clearly witnesses the reality of us being the poor in spirit. And being poor in this world actually helps us to witness that that you are poor in spirit much easier. Because if you're rich, it's going to be very hard for you to humble yourself. So you are poor in spirit. Being poor in this world actually helps you do that better. Witness that better. Because I know myself. If I'm very rich, I'm going to boast. Man, even though I'm not that rich, I still boast. Can you imagine if I'm rich, how much boasting I'll do? So being poor in this world helps me to witness how poor in spirit I am much better than I'll take that. But it's all according to how much grace God gives you. Everybody's different. This is why God causes us to be poor in this world. He's blessing us so that we could live that humble life. When Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him. Philippians 2 verse 9, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'm here to tell you, God promised us the same thing. God says, yours is the kingdom of God. James chapter 4 verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. We desire to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Even him being poor in this world, we want to be like him. And even as I say that, I'm at the same time, I'm terrified in saying that. What if he said, okay, that's what you desire, all right, I make you poor. And yet I have to say it, because it's true. I want to be like Christ. But not in a boasting way, I'm saying it. I'm telling you, I'm terrified saying it. What if God just blesses me so much that I imitate Christ in all things? You know how hard that's going to be? And yet there's this little desire in my heart that says, I want to be like him. This is the struggle that we have as a Christian. But ultimately, we want to be like Christ. And we witness our reality of being poor in spirit. We came to God. Even as we worship him now, we worship him as the poor in spirit. But he pours out his grace and exalts us by faith. Brothers and sisters, by faith, see where you have come. And be absolutely positive that the kingdom of God is yours. Heaven is yours. You might not have much in this world. You might have to work really hard, physically so draining and tired, you come home and you have no energy left. But I pray that you have enough energy to hear God's voice through his word. That he tells you, yours is heaven. And I pray that that's enough for you. And I'm not saying just, deliberately be poor or don't enjoy everything that God is giving you. No, I'm not saying that enjoy what God gives you. Just don't be greedy. But our purpose is not to be rich in this world. It's not about getting better job, making more money. That's not our primary purpose. Because we're traveling through. You don't live here forever. And ask all these old people how fast life is. It goes really fast. And you want to spend your life in things of God because time is so fast. And I know some of you are suffering. And some of you work very hard physically and mentally, and you have to endure so many things out there, but this is why I love my job so much. That no matter what situation that you are in, I could tell you, yours is heaven. And I know that heaven is worth it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Even though we might be poor, heaven is ours. Eternal heaven is eternally ours in Jesus Christ. And Father, let us truly realize how rich we are forever in heaven. And that richness of heaven, it is your will to be expressed in this world as being poor. We see that in Jesus Christ. So we do expect that the same thing for us. And we are so happy that you consider us worthy to represent Jesus Christ in this world. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.